public hearing. At this moment, we are in the process of going to provinces so as to continue with our public hearing. But we also felt that it is important for the department to come before the portfolio committee and assure us that in terms of resources, they have all that is needed to implement this bill, so that we do not pass a law that afterwards we are told that we can't because we don't have manpower, we don't have finances, and so on. And the very fact that from the time we started, we did not meet the department, even if there were representatives of the department in the public hearing. We therefore are here to listen to the department as it makes a presentation, but also assuring us that the implementation of this bill will be possible without problems. And indeed, during the public hearing, we were made to understand that this bill is responding to the recommendations of the Ngwepe Commission of Inquiry into the Ellis Park Soccer disaster of the 11th of April 2001. And therefore, its aim is to ensure that those recommendations are indeed implemented in the form of a legislation. And it is for this reason that we are having this meeting today. And of course, on Friday, in fact, tomorrow, we'll be leaving for provinces as both the portfolio committees of sports as well as police. I therefore want to hand over to the department to make a presentation, which I think members received, I'm not sure, so that we can then interact with the presentation of the department. We indeed welcomed the National Commissioner in our last meeting, but I think it is also proper that we do it again together with his delegation. And of course, we'll be listening to the National Commissioner as he leads the presentation, or whoever he is appointed to lead the presentation. I will therefore hand over to the department.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Shkoluwani Island. One is a little bit of a flu. Sure. Living KZN, that's why the 25th coming here. When it was 10, one is living here at the King Pretoria Estate. It doesn't give you a very balanced kind of health. But surely one is enough to get an extra sleep. Dr. Praise here has given him the extra sleep, but the rest of the team says he was not very much qualified to give us no time to sleep. Thanks. I'm with Nomkuleko on the other side, communication on the Office of the Commissioner Director and the BAT. Legal Department, Judicial Commissioner Mthimkhulu, leading the Legal Section Police, and the Deputy Commissioner of the Police Operations Department. When one came, there was this bill on the air, and one began to listen here and there, trying to find out the sports and recreation bill, but that has so much to say on policing. We looked around and we began to sit down and listen in the department, legal, and with the minister. And indeed, we discovered that the bill that is supposed to be sports and recreation, there's so much light on policy matters, and it cannot just go like that. It cannot just be sports and recreation bill. So we have sat down, we looked at it, as I said, ourselves as a department and minister, and we have agreed that the policy matters are substantive on the bill. and we will have to look at allowing police to have a much bigger say and follow some path to allow them to do that. Without saying much before the presentation, it is on the score that we suggest that the policing methods are taken out of this bill. They find their way in other legislative accommodation, whether on the ROC Act or in the Police Act. We suggest that they find their way there. There are quite several things that go wrong. For instance, this bill, in many ways, instructs the commissioner of the police to account to the Minister of Sport. It also sometimes instructs the Minister of Police to account to the Minister of Sport. And we find it not very much in line with constitution and other ways of working in government. So we have this suggestion of taking out the policing methods and house them in the Policing Act and or house them in the ROC Act, but the working together on these methods should not be compromised as we go forward together, the department responsible and the police. So I'll then allow in nutshell. That's how we look and we see our report in the nutshell, but we'll allow then Commissioner Mthimkhulu to take us forward on the legal matter. That's how we see it. Thanks. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Commissioner, and members of the Portfolio Committee. As the National Commissioner has mentioned, we went through the bill and we discovered that there were sections in the bill that related to policing matters. And as you may all be aware, that policing is a national prerogative to the Minister of Police, and policing in itself as a function belongs to the National Commissioner. We felt that it is imperative that we separate and purify the functions of police in as far as the bill is concerned, and that is why we came up with the suggestion that we either have one of the three options. We have it as a standalone, we have it housed under the Police Act, or we have it housed under the Regulation of the Gatherings Act. I will not go into detail. I'm going to ask Dustin about to take you through the presentation. And I'm going to also ask Commissioner Prince to take you through the financial implications and how we are going to be resourced in implementing the bill. The intention is not to do away with the provisions of the bill as they stand that relates to policing, but to just transport them out of the bill and put them in a bill that is going to be the responsibility of the National Commission. We will also highlight in the bill the issues that we want to talk about that are related to the police.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the focus of this briefing, I think, is therefore twofold: the policing provisions contained in the bill before the Parliament, and then also an aspect that is important, the financial cost and resource implications for the SAPs in the implementation of the principles contained in the bill. Honourable Chair, the legislation that normally assigns functions to the South African Police Service do so in a manner that is very similar to the Criminal Procedure Act. In other words, certain seizures, powers of entry, etc. This bill that is before the Joint Committee actually goes further than that. The Minister of Sport is responsible for the administration of the bill, but the bill also impacts on the manner in which the National Commissioner should manage the South African Police Service and the operational aspects of policing. If you look at the bill actually assigns the majority of functions inside the bill and its provisions to the National Commissioner and also to the Minister in a lesser manner. It is important also to note that in Clause 31, the regulatory powers of the Minister of Police
is limited. You will see there are three types of situations where the Minister of Sport might make a regulation. The one is without consulting the South African Police Service, the Minister of Police. The second type of regulation is where the Minister of Sport may consult and only after consultation make regulations, which you will note there, may also be on the safety and security issues contained in the bill, which is a blurring of the functions of the two ministers. And then lastly, the Minister of Police, of course, may make regulations specifically to the policing matters, but also after consultation with the Minister of Sports. The clauses that I refer to specifically are clause 31.1a and H, and I've already referred to them. As a general background, police functions, the powers and duties of police are assigned to the Minister of Police and the National Commissioner in terms of the Constitution, sections 205-208. As a result, it is respectfully submitted that the policing provisions in the bill should not be subject to the powers of another department. If you look at the bill as it is before the committee is present, the National Commissioner will make a provisional risk assessment which may be overruled by the Minister of Sport in clause 6 thereof, which obviously creates the question whether the expertise on making those risk assessments lie within the Minister of Sport's office or the National Commissioner's office. And we would submit that the National Commissioner would be in a better position to make such a final risk determination. In the very first hearing conducted by the Portfolio Committee of Sport, I might just mention that the DG of Sport already indicated that clause 6 would be, there would be a submission to the committee to remove clause 6 and the powers of the Minister of Sport there. So the main question then, when we have to analyse the bill, whether the constitutional function of security is correctly reflected in the bill before the committee. Section 205 of the Constitution is quite clear on that aspect, in that the police are responsible for the safety of the public. If the committee wants to retain the bill in its present format with the policing provisions in sight, the staff will submit that independent policing is essential, and the functioning of the police, especially the operational function, because the, I think it's quite clear from the bill that a lot of the operational aspects are contained in the provisions relating to police. There are some examples mentioned in the presentation for you, clauses 5, 10A, clause 6, clause 19.8, clause 26, 23.2, and then all the provisions relating to the regulation aspects, as I alluded to further earlier. The functions in the bill must therefore be purified, and the administration of the bill is divided, at least in terms of section 97 of the Constitution. The South African police, however, feel that there are other options available to the committee to deal with this bill. The first one is to amend the South African Police Service Act, where some of the definitions are in this bill and also the functions of the police in the bill can be translated into an inserted chapter into the Police Act. In other words, it's chapter 6B, which would also then fit in with the functions of the police, and also, for instance, the Directorate of Special Operations, etc., will be contained in the Police Act. And the advantage of that would be, of course, that any event organizer would be able to refer to the Police Act and immediately see all the functions contained therein. Another option is to split the bill presently before the committee into two separate and distinct bills, where the different issues relating to, for instance, safety and health, the structural integrity of the stadiums, the safety certification of the stadiums, etc., are contained in one bill, and the security, safety and security issues related to policing are contained in another. There is an advantage, but I submit then that it would be necessary to create links between the two bills in order not to to inflate the legislation and create confusion. The preferred option which the National Commissioner would like to put forward, and I think the National Commissioner already mentioned that, would be to amend the Regulation of Gatherings Act 93, Act 205 of 1993. That Act deals with all political gatherings, cultural gatherings, etc., where there are marches and rallies that are held in stadiums and other venues. This Act already therefore makes provision for public gatherings, and it is our submission that the provisions in the bill before Parliament, those provisions related to policing, it is possible to translate or transfer those provisions rather seamlessly into the Regulation of Gatherings Act, thereby expanding the functions of the police in the Gatherings Act and also enhancing the structures and the mechanisms already contained in that Act and even more definition in the provisions before the committee. There would obviously need to be insertion of various definitions to distinguish between the political, the cultural, the sporting and recreational events. The provisions in the Regulation of Gatherings Act are similar to the present bill, but it can be inserted there. And then I think the major advantage for any event organizer would be that the information is accessible to them and it is possible immediately to determine if your event is a music or a recreational event or a sporting event or whether it's a political rally or march, which provisions would be applicable. Some of the other issues that may be highlighted and submitted to the committee is that the sports and recreation issues can be dealt with separately in the present bill. The policing issues can be dragged from it, from this bill inserted into the Regulation of Gatherings Act, which would mean that the evidence and the submissions held by the joint committees would still remain valid, as the provisions in this bill that will be transferred would remain essentially the same, and the substance of those provisions would not be altered. The two committees could still jointly consider the purified bill, as we refer to it here, and the amendment to the Regulation of Gatherings Act. And then when we get to the financial cost and resource implications, Mr. Price. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Price. Thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe before I allow members to ask questions, I will request the department to just remind us as to what are the responsibilities of the legal section in the department and what has been the role of that legal unit in the department in the processing of this bill. And after that, I think we'll be able to engage with the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may, put in that something.
Yeah. There would be several roles, but in relation to the subject before us, Honorable Chair, the department would, if this were the deal of the police that has been responsible for the development of the bill and has taken the bill forward. But again, I would assume that in any legislative processes, any department that goes for the legislation or any other process will consult any other department that is has a relationship or that process is impact on the other department. As such, then I would assume that the sports and recreation is conducted the police. Then is where the role of the legal department of the police we can come on. But it's not only the duty of the legal department of the police to agree or disagree. They will have to come back to the management as the whole, because the department of police is not about legal issues. It's about finances, it's about many other things. So I guess then that the legal department will put the bill in front of the management as a whole to see where do we stand as the police. Maybe if it happened before, I think that one was not taken on board to put it on the management as such, the finances and all of us. I think that's what we have done on the later stage, is that we called the department, the unit of legal and all, as the management, we said, and then we discovered that it can't go on like that. So whatever happened, maybe the department or the unit of component of legal, they kept on themselves rather than carrying the broad management, police management understanding on the matter. Hence, maybe we are here where we are today, because it's an approach of the management of the police at the present moment, rather than the unit, or legal unit within the police.
What is the role of the legal unit in the department, and what was the role of the legal unit in this bill? What actually happened? I'll come to you. What actually happened in this bill? What did the legal department do, and what is its overall responsibility as a department, I mean as a unit in the department, so that we know why we are here today?
Thank you, Chairperson. Legal services have got several responsibilities within the department. Generally, it is a support function to the whole of the department in terms of crime operations, crime intelligence. It also gives support to human resources. It gives support to visible policing, logistics, and then it does civil litigation for and against the police. One of the responsibilities also is the drafting of legislation, which is under the leadership of Commissioner Helmut. What they would normally do, legislation, they would assist in the drafting of legislation, they will interact with any department that is responsible for the putting together of the bill that goes before Parliament. They will engage with the necessary functionaries within the police. And in this instance, the Commissioner Price was taken on board in as far as the functioning of the National Commission is concerned. So there has been interaction, except that it wasn't brought forward to the whole of the department. The relevant people within the department were consulted on the drafting of the bill.
We will take hands from the members if they want to ask questions. Honorable Judith Church, Honorable Annelies, Honorable Mishwe, Honorable Kuala Banat, Honorable Greg, in that order, please.
Madam Chair, see, normally when a bill, before it goes to the cabinet, it goes to what they call a cabinet committee. If it is a security, it goes through the JCPS. But because sport is not part of the JCPS, I would assume that it went to another committee, OSHA. Now, but my difficulty, firstly, I say that the presentations made by the police today, I agree with them. That was my first observation. But the problem now, this bill went through the government, where the Minister of Police is. And this was not I would assume, like the Honor Commissioner said, that in the past, they allowed this bill to go. You see, the problem with this bill is this bill. You know, yesterday I was reading the Johannesburg Star, talking about laws which were passed in this parliament, which are not implemented. No, because if you look at this bill, this is going to be a problem even in implementing it. But my problem, why this thing was allowed, this thing, and nobody said. You know, I remember 2 years ago when we talked about the issue of smoking. We were in this committee and we were talking to the Minister of Health, and we asked a question. Are you expecting the police to call? He was there. Are you expecting the police officers to arrest people who are smoking cigarettes in the streets of South Africa with all the crime? So I'm just saying, if for instance the argument is that it takes certain part of it, what happens to the speech? Well, most the part of the speech deals with security. Even its title, it says safety. So already, if you say you're going to take certain aspects of this thing that deals with security, and if you look at it, it always refers to the National Commission and so on. Once you take all that and say you must take it out, effectively, they're leaving this bill, I don't know what it's going to look like. So, I want to. I see the options. Amend the CPSA, leave the bill, that's where I'm going. And amend the gathering tax. Are these the only options? Because that's my worry, because with all three of them, I've got problems. But also the process, to me, is not fully explained as to how was it allowed to go to this extent.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think we all know that there are problems in the bill. And we agree in terms of the commissioner reporting to the Minister of Sport that needs to be corrected. But that we can do in the bill. I just think that the departure point that we can't have this piece of legislation with the necessary amendments as a separate piece of legislation is the wrong departure point. That Police Act deals with the organisation as such. It governs the police, its functions, the structure of the police. That's why the DPCI as a section of the police, a division of the police, was put into the Police Act. So that deals for me with the day-to-day management, powers, privileges, rights of the police. Nowhere in the Police Act do we deal with, for instance, a crime, a specific crime, or a specific event that you need to organize for, or we've got a separate piece of legislation dealing with the firearms control. We've got a separate piece of legislation dealing with the Second Hand Goods Act. We've got a separate piece of legislation dealing with the ROG, Regulation of Gatherings. So the departure point of saying that we must take out what is in here dealing with SAPS and put it in the SAPS Act for me is not an option. I can't see that we do that. We can't do that. Because if we're going to do that, then every single piece of legislation that in some way referred to the police or have to go to that act, and we're going to have a piece of legislation this week. I think the mere fact that we have a second option that says we can take it and put it in the Regulation of Gatherings Act is contradicting the fact that we can't have a separate piece of legislation. And I think what we need to do is have a look at it. That, for me, is a more workable option, if you want to include it rather in the Regulation of Gatherings Act, because it also, in the end, deals with gatherings. But we need to, as a committee, apply our minds of what does the Regulation of Gatherings Act actually say. I don't think any of us have looked at it in relation to this act. But I share, to some extent, some of the Honourable George's concerns. My concern is not so much what happens through cabinet process. My concern is that I think the options being put before us, look, in the end, in any case, ASDF must make that decision. Nobody can make the decision on how they are. But the options being put before us, I feel, comes from the wrong departure point. We need to address the problems. And I think we need to take note of the problems that SAPS is raising with us. And those would be, for instance, the fact that the commissioner are expected to report to two ministers. That needs to be corrected. The fact that the Minister of Sport has regulating powers without consulting the Minister of Such, which would impact on Such, that needs to be corrected. Those issues we need to correct. But I do have a problem and an uneasiness about us saying that we must take out everything that refers to the police and put it in the Police Act or in another piece of legislation, because that contradicts me what the system does.
Chairperson has been partly covered by my colleague, but what remains in my mind is to try and find the rationale behind a suggestion that the Minister of Police must account for information to the Minister of Justice, because that means that not the Minister of Sport, thank you. To me, that does not make sense.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand the rationale. The communication, liaison, and discussions that should be taking place between different departments seem not to have taken place. Consultation, although we were told that there was some measure of consultation, I'm not sure whether in those consultations that this issue of the Minister of Police reporting to the Minister of Sport were discussed, because how could they agree to something like that? So, besides some of the issues that were being raised by my colleagues, I think I need to be helped on this one. The flash is not behind the decision. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I really, I'm extremely disquieted that this committee was virtually pulled in at the last minute. We've had no involvement. I was going to say virtually no, but we really have had no involvement in its creation. It's an absurd situation that really should not have been allowed to exist. I've never known something like this happen in Parliament before. However, it does exist, and I'm now left wondering if really the public hearing shouldn't be cancelled and this entire bill worked through by this committee line by line, as we do with all legislation dealt with by this committee. We take legislation extremely seriously. We've been hauled in right at the tail end, and we're supposed to be sent off to public hearings when really there are major issues. You've heard what the SAS has said. They're obviously extremely disquieted by what's proposed, and I agree with my colleagues. I have no idea how this bill actually reached this stage, where you have one minister answering to another and national commissioners answering to the wrong department. I mean, it's an absolute blurring of reporting lines that is totally unacceptable. I mean, it just can't happen the way it is. We possibly have two options: to cancel the public hearings and tend to this bill as a committee that's actually involved in this and not brought in at the tail end, or we can try and change it on the hoof as we go to public hearings, with the SAP saying that we actually want major changes made. We still have to debate them, discuss them, go through this line by line. I feel like we're being rushed through this bill, and we could end up regretting this in 6 months' time should we allow this bill to go through and find it absolutely unworkable. This has happened before, and I would ask that we do not allow that to happen here today.
Is it a follow-up?
Is
it a follow-up?
Yes. And I want to link up to what my colleague just said. If some people in the public have had access to this, and they are raising questions that would be embarrassing, is this a normal thing that only safety matter, and maybe the Minister of Police has come to the Minister of Sports Organization, I will not going to be embarrassed at that's what I'm going to say. So is it not worth fixing the wrong that we have seen before we take this matter to
Sure, I think I've been covered pretty much on everything, particularly now with pretty much echo the sentiments on the structuring of the bill, etc., of the Honourable Andre. I would also tend to agree. I think we can greet each other this morning, which I think is correct. But I think we also need a bit of time to actually look at this. I think it also would be helpful for us to also, as a committee, get some input from the state law advisors, etc., as well, to give us some guidance. As a portfolio committee, we don't have the right to withdraw this bill or to reject this bill. That's not for us to do. And in fact, this bill was actually tabled before the sports creation. Not us. But fortunately, we were able to get into the process. So even there, our powers are a little bit limited. So I think, on the one hand, we agree, I think, very much with what the Commissioner is saying and what Sats is saying about the reporting structure, etc. Because that was a concern that we had all along, and those things did come up. But my real concern is that during the hearings that we've had, joint hearings with the Committee on Sports and Recreation and with the Committee on Peace, there was actually a person there from the legal department, from SAPS, who was in those meetings. And never once did they raise it. Never once did I hear them say there was a problem with this policy. Now, I think what the Commissioner is saying as well, sir, that I think we have to say thank goodness the Commissioner is there. Because if the Commissioner wasn't there, and this wasn't actually tabled properly before management, senior management, we probably would have let the bill would have gone through. Nobody would have said anything else. That's my concern. And I think that's the question that's being asked, is how was this allowed to happen? Because obviously there was no consultation. And that's why I'm saying, thank goodness we have the Commissioner there now. Because if the Commissioner wasn't there, this bill probably would have, nobody would have said anything, and we would have gone ahead and pushed this bill would have been passed. And then we would have sat with implications afterwards, possibly. So that's just the comments I want to make, Chair. But I think, Chairperson, I think we do have to say that on the basis of what's been presented before, I think we've got to slow this down. We have to slow this down. Now, I mean, I've heard the Honourable Colabano talking about, and possibly the Honourable Mesh talking about postponement of public hearings, etc. That's something that we would have to discuss. And I think that's something that certainly through the office of the chairperson, there would have to be discussions with the chair of sports and recreation. And those are things that we have to look at. But I do think we have to slow this process down, and we have to apply our minds. And I don't think we can just rush into anything. Even though based on what has been presented to us here, the various options, I don't think we can just rush into this. That would be my appeal, Chair, that we slow down, and we need to apply our minds, we need to look carefully. I think even the department, that's what, we need to engage with the ministers as well. And the two ministers need to engage with each other as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, members. I think it is first thing that really makes one to think that sometimes people don't take their work seriously. Because it cannot be that today on the 8th of September, following such a lengthy process as it is explained in this document, that this bill has been there for more than 3 years. First, it was about more than 1,000 pages, and it was reduced to this. With the department playing a role, it cannot be that today the same department is coming to tell us about the fact that there is a constitution which has been there since 1996 and they did not consider the prescripts of the constitution. I think one will want to say, I'm not very sure whether it is not proper to say some people are neglecting their duties. It cannot be like this. I think it can't. Because for us, we take it, for that matter, this bill was signed by both the Department of Police and the Department of Sports and Recreation. That is why it is in Parliament. Both of them signed the bill. And if we had not invited the department, we wouldn't have known about this. It's not that this came from the department, this meeting. It came from the portfolio committee. In the understanding that the portfolio committee, I mean the department, has exercised its thinking and everything around the bill. We wanted to know the issues around the implementability of the bill in terms of resources. Not that they did not consider the constitution when they were drafting the bill. In fact, we were told that any part that related to police was drafted by the department. Mm. Now I'm talking to people who understand the law. I'm not a lawyer. I really must say that this is something that we can't take from the department. Because we don't want to be part of this portfolio committee of any confusion. We really don't want. We want to remain a portfolio committee that does its work on time and the work that is of quality. It cannot be that. The department will bring in something and the same department comes with something completely new. At what stage did you realize that this bill was wrong? I'm really asking these questions because I feel a little bit agitated about everything. Because we're wasting money. This public hearing and the whole processing of the bill is about money. Advertising and everything is about money. It cannot be that we are at this stage told by the department that we better choose this or choose that or not this or not that today when we are due to leave for provinces tomorrow. It can't be like that. We can't work like that. We cannot be made not by the department to work like that. We don't want to work like that. In fact, we don't plan to work like that. I will request the department to respond on some of the things that have been said, and I think our meeting will surely be a very short one. Thank you.
Secretary, before I respond, we still want the portion of the financial implications. Put before I as Commissioner Price will respond on financial implications.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. Madam Chair, if one look at financial implications in relation to an event, you primarily have to take three issues into account. The functions to be performed in relation to the event, the personnel, that's the number of members to be deployed, plus whether you're going to deploy specific, specialized members during the event, thirdly, the equipment that you're going to utilize. An issue linked to that is the duration of the event. If you look at the Soccer World Cup, we've already started in 2004, and the event will take place in 2010. That will not be applicable to all major events, but it's an indication that the duration of the event can have a major impact on the budget for the event. Regarding the issues which may impact on the event, I would like to mention the elements of the operation to give you an indication of what we will have to do and budgets linked to that. Firstly, as in the bill, Madam Chair, can I say before I continue, if you look at this bill, this is what we've been doing during the Rugby World Cup, the Cricket World Cup. If you take our operational concept for the Cricket World Cup, that's the bill. It's a duplication of our operational concept applicable to the Cricket World Cup, which is utilized for the SEC and which we are going to utilize for the Soccer World Cup. Maybe there's another issue in the bill, and that's powers and functions in relation to ministers, powers and functions to make regulations, because at this stage we operate in terms of command and control to the national commissioner. If we have a major event, this is where our command and control will stop. The national commissioner, the chief of the SANDF, the DG of NIA, the DG of SAF, we report to the DGs. So I think you should distinguish between the concept of operations and, on the other hand, powers and functions of various ministers. Maybe, Madam Chair, I should make a remark about that, because if you read Section 31, I'm sure in terms of 31.1, where the Minister for Sport may make regulations regarding various issues, including the control and monitoring of commercial activities of all events, I'm sure the DTI Minister will have to be involved in this, because in terms of an event like the World Cup, it's the DTI involved in the activities of commercial affiliates and regulating that, and not the Minister for Sport. If you look at the powers of the Minister of Police, which may make regulations in relation to various issues, including the deployment of state security services at events. If you deploy the Defence Force, that's the role of the President. Only the President can sign for the deployment of the Defence Force, and not the Minister of Police. So I think it's an issue on the executive level where one will have to look at the bill. On the operational side, that's the concept which we've been implemented. Madam Chair, what will influence the budget? Firstly, intelligence will influence the budget. The bill speaks about risk assessments. We do risk assessments. We classify all events, low, medium, or high risk events. But linked to that, you may have additional issues. You may have, for example, risk assessments in relation to countries participating if you have a major sporting event. You may have the compilation of databases of dangerous and disruptive persons who may visit. That will mean you have to link up with various countries in the world. You have to set up a database. You have to develop systems. You have to link it to various systems, such as, for example, at the stadium, the turnstiles of the stadium, systems at your port of entry, etc. So the risk assessment may have a major impact on the budget. It will indicate how far you will go in further analyzing and evaluating. A second issue which will impact is whether you're going to utilize ports of entry and which port of entry. If you only utilize, for example, Oliver Tambo International Airport, it's one cost factor that you talk about, one port of entry. But if you're going to add Durban, if you're going to add Cape Town, if you're going to add sea ports of entry, if you're going to add land ports of entry, it's really having a major impact on your budget, because it's more people to be deployed, and it's even having impact to some extent on the budget of countries in the region. The Soccer World Cup will have an impact on the budgets of countries in the region, because there will be an inflow from Swaziland, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Namibia, and various other countries. The third issue that one must take into account regarding ports of entry is how will you secure your borderline. In some instances, we secure the airspace, we sanitize airspace. If you have a major stadium, you sanitize the airspace. If you talk about sanitizing airspace, you talk about deployment of radars, you may even have fighter aircraft in the air to sanitize your airspace. You may have police aircraft in the air to perform certain functions. So once you start sanitizing airspace for an event, depending on who's attending and your risk assessment, it's having impact on your budget. Madam Chair, the following issue that will have impact will be your routes. How long will the routes be that you have to secure? Is it only airport into the city? Is it only inner city routes? Or is it longer distances? With the FCC, we had routes running from Gauteng to Bloemfontein, which is 500 kilometers that you have to secure, to Rustenburg, which is 100 to 120.
Chairperson, while this is very informative, the study commission was taking, the issue of cost going to be addressed, because I thought we were also going to talk about the land and some about cost question. I'll get into it.
Yes. Madam Chair, the following issue is the securing of your city. You have to divide it in sectors, you have to secure hotels, you have to secure places frequented by tourists, etc. On the transport side, we're securing roads, we're securing air, and we're securing rail. During the FCC, we deployed more than 400 railway police members to secure the metro trains being utilized in the stadiums and back. If you talk about the venue, the type of venue will have a major impact on your budget. If it's a stadium, it's a very large area that you start to secure. Ranging from your city, and you see about traffic warning zones, you see about traffic free zones, the perimeter of a stadium, right to the pitch. If it's a building like this, the perimeter area is not so big. You don't start far off in the city, but closer to a venue. If you have the ICC, for example, as a venue for an event, the perimeter is much smaller than you will have, for example, for a stadium. But I'm saying on contingency plans, that will impact, because it will depend on what type of contingencies you're catering for and what type of members you will deploy. Then you will have special plans. Accreditation is costing money, because if you have to accredit people, the names will come to us, we will check it against systems, which will take time, personnel, utilization of equipment, etc., before you can determine whether a person will be recommended for accreditation. But in case, possibly the biggest cost driver will be the number of members that you will have to deploy. To give you an example, and this is random thing. For the Soccer World Cup next year, we're deploying 31,000 members, plus an additional 10,000. That costs 640 million rand. To do it over a period of 8 weeks, 2 weeks before the tournament, 2 weeks after, and the 4 weeks of the tournament. The reason why, Madam Chair, is that when we deploy members for a special event, the National Commissioner may declare an event as a special event. And during that event, we pay our members a special allowance. We don't pay overtime and other allowances during the period, but we pay them a fixed amount, which is 560 rand per day, per member. So, to calculate cost in terms of any event, you take time, you take the elements into account that I've indicated to you, maybe small intelligence, maybe one-fourth of entry, and then you take the force levels that you have to deploy, and to calculate what you're going to pay them is very easy, because it's 100 members, for example, at 560 rand a day, and you're going to deploy them for 2 weeks, and there's your budget. However, there's another cost factor, and that's your equipment. In many instances, you have to purchase special equipment for an event. For example, for the Soccer World Cup, we had to purchase special command and control vehicles. It is the whole of South Africa that we cover. You can't have only a few VOCs, as you have it here in the build. You have to have mobile VOCs, venue operational centers, and therefore you purchase command vehicles. Also to have the capacity to see in a command vehicle what's being picked up by the cameras of your helicopter, your fixed-wing aircraft, etc. It may also mean, Madam Chair, that for a specific event, you may have special training. Our members have been trained for crowd management, as you know. However, they've not been trained for crowd management in relation to hooliganism, as we've seen, for example, in the UK and other countries. Therefore, the members are being trained also by members from the France Gendarme, the UK soccer unit, etc., because they have special knowledge in terms of the functioning of hooliganism. It's special tactics that you utilize. Linked to that, you may purchase again special equipment. As you know, we're purchasing body armor for the members to prevent the members from carrying shields and push actions to be exercised, because that's very difficult when you have soccer fans to utilize that type of crowd management equipment. Lastly, Madam Chair, I think an issue impacting on a budget is who's participating. I think you're asking us about the police, but let's look at an event. In your intelligence center, it's NIA, it is SAC, it is Defense Intelligence, it's Crime Intelligence, it's NICOP, sitting in the ICC. If you look at the ports of entry, it's not only the police, it's Home Affairs, it is Customs from far to side, it is Agriculture, it is Health, working at the port of entry when you have an event. If you look, for example, at the route, it's not only SAPS, it's the Metro Police, Provincial Traffic Police participating in the event. If you look at city security, it's again Metro Police and various other role players from your local authority participating. So if you start developing a budget for a major event, it's police plus the other role players linked to the budget to be performed or the functions to be performed. The one issue that we've requested, Madam Chair, after our debriefing of the FCC, is that we're of the view, and that's purely an operational view, that all departments participating in events should receive the same allowance. If we have an event and we deploy police, Metro Police, soldiers, customs, home affairs, they should all receive the same allowance. You should not have discrepancies between the allowances being paid to members because they sit in one job, they work as one team during such an event. Madam Chair, if one thus would like to cut the bill, it's very necessary that you take the average number of events that you will possibly secure during a year, and then look at the interdepartmental budget that you'll have to have available. If you just look at this year, the number of events that we've been involved in, we were securing the run-up to the election. Before election day, the IPL cricket started in South Africa. So we moved with cricket and the election. Just after the election, we had the inauguration of the president, which is a total different type of event that you have to secure because of the number of VIPs participating in such an event. Just after that, we started with the FCC, the Confederation Cup, and we just completed the Confederation Cup, and we're now preparing for the Championship Cup of Nations, the cricket, which will start next week, I think the 12th of September, when the West Indies will arrive in South Africa. So these are major, major events that we're talking about, international sporting events. In between, you're going to have political events, you're going to have cultural events, etc. So maybe we should say, this is the average number. This is the average number of members to be deployed, and then come up with an interdepartmental budget based on factual information that we have in relation to the events that we've already secured in the past. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Can I ask a question? Are you therefore suggesting that there surely are cost implications related to this?
Madam Chair, yes. Events do cost money. I think there's a further issue that one must take into account in this bill. Madam Chair, this bill provides for three things that you have in any operational plan. It provides for event safety. And possibly when Director Van der Walt mentioned the Regulation of Gatherings Act, the Regulation of Gatherings Act places the responsibility on the organizer of an event, plus the local authority, plus the police. It's a triangle which must serve and then eventually develop a plan in relation to the event to take place. If one look at this bill, I think when one talks about taking the police powers out of this, what will eventually be left here will be event safety matters. You see the issue of steward here, you see the issue of private security. But immediately once you talk about private security, you have to take CIRA legislation into account because people must be registered, even the stewards, in accordance with this bill. So event safety can be raised. To move the other issues to the Regulation of Gatherings Act, Madam Chair, I don't think it's a major issue to do it there because this is how we currently operate in relation to the Regulation of Gatherings Act. But cost, yes, Madam Chair, it does cost money, the issue of events. Normally what we do, once you have a lot of events, you start financing events out of your operational budget because you are busy with public order, you are busy with crime prevention, and I think if you look at the soccer, for example, the FCC, we've had various days where in the perimeter area of the stadium we had no crime occurring. It was a crime-free zone also, in view of the fact that we deployed forces based on the crime pattern analysis, etc. It does work money, Marinda.
Let me take him, Honorable Annelie, Honorable Misha, Honorable.
Citizen, my question is related to the memorandum of this bill, section 6 of this memorandum. I mean, we still don't know what the cost of this bill is going to be to the department. We accept it's going to be operational costs and it will form part of that. But if you look at section 6 of the memorandum, the last page of this bill, it clearly indicates there that there will be a deficit next year, deficit 2011-12, 2012-13, and 6.2 states categorically that the administration of this act being promulgated entails the involvement of two ministers, namely Sports and Recreation, Safety and Security. 6.3, the cost flowing from the said proclamation shall be borne by Sport and Recreation South Africa and Safety and Security relative to the particular issues of the act covered by the said proclamation of the President. And I think that's what we were asking for as well, is we want to know also what is the cost, what part of this cost is SAPS going to be. We need to know that answer.
That's the second question.
Thanks, Kumar Chair. In the presentation, slide 12, the financial cost. There's a point there that actually says no negative or additional financial cost or resource implication. I would like to understand what that is saying based on what we've listened to Commissioner Grace saying. Because it's actually my understanding, if I've listened correctly, is that there are extra costs, there are cost implications. The other question I want to ask in relation to this bill. If my understanding is correct on this bill is also going to bring into play events that may not normally have been policed by the police, if I can use that word. Because recreational events could mean art galleries, it could mean art exhibitions, it could mean anything. So my question there would be, when SAPS has looked at this bill and looked at the implications of the legislation around the safety of venues, etc. So, are there other events that the police may now have to be involved in policing that they would not normally have been involved in before, in terms of this legislation? Because if that is the case, then there are other costs.
Yes.
I'd like to be clarity on that, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was also my point. I mean, if they're going to be at the events are going to happen anyway. Surely it's not the bill that's making them incur the additional cost. They're going to have to incur those costs anyhow because they're going to have to be at those events. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically just my sandwich.
The presentation, this one. The clauses relating to such functions as are contained in the bill are based on current practices in the policing of state events, the financial cost implications. These measures were developed to be practical and to enable the SAP to fulfill its duty. There are therefore no provisions of the bill assigning a function to the SAP that cannot be implemented. As an example, I can refer to the Honorable Chairperson, I mean the FIFA, blah, blah, blah. And of course, to back up this document from the police, from the department, not from the Civil Committee. It says no negative or additional financial cost or resource implications. Mm-hmm. It comes from the department. Mm-hmm. Why a contradiction?
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think when we prepared the slide for the issue, we were saying if we've got to implement the bill and having taken out the provisions that relate to the bill, we will not have to fund anything that relates to the bill, but we will fund those operations that the police normally do, which is what we highlighted. Not in terms of the bill, but in terms of what we are going to do. So let's take out these provisions that relate to the operational functions of the police, which is what Commissioner Prince has explained, and say, in as far as the bill is concerned, we will not have any cost implications, but the cost implications will be related to
Christmas is a big
the additional cost implications would lead to what we're supposed to be doing.
Madam Chair, thanks. I think, Madam Chair, if one look at the issue of cost implication, you have to take into account the risk assessment to be done. You will have many low-risk events taking place where the police role is really a very limited role. Second issue to be taken into account, special major events are being budgeted for in a special manner. For the elections, we receive a separate budget. For the Soccer World Cup, we receive a special budget. So if it's a major, major event, which may be of a high risk, and many of these major, major events are high risk events, there's a special budget in that regard. Fact of the matter is, if you take the bill, if it's going to be enacted, it places a legal responsibility on the National Commissioner, SARS, etc. And that may mean that the number of events based on a risk assessment that you're going to be involved in will be more than the number of events that we are currently involved in. However, the functions to be performed will be normal policing functions. It is our job in the Constitution to maintain public order. It is our job to prevent crime. It is our job to investigate crime. It is our job to implement high-risk operations to deal with activities such as terrorism, etc. It's all policing functions that we're talking about to be performed in relation to an event over a specific period by a number of members. So, Madam Chair, I think it is correct that one should say that nothing abnormal. It's policing functions that will be performed and take into account those special major events will be budgeted for separately, and I think we're the last department to complain that government has not provided sufficiently in relation to the special major events that we are responsible for.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I understand what the Commissioner is saying. Because if at the end of the presentation they say there is no negative or additional financial cost implication, and we are talking about the implementation of the safety at sports and recreation events, I do not understand why verbally, when you were giving a verbal presentation here, you said they are going to be implications. And he spoke about the deployment of about 8,000 more members. Now, I thought he meant in implementing this bill that those deployments are going to take place. And at the end, they say that there are no financial implications. Now we are told that at some event, whether it's low risk or high risk, there will be. I think if the department made a mistake, you just have to say you made a mistake. Because I don't think it is fair to deliver confidence. They are getting confused that they are told that there are no financial implications, and yet in some documents there are financial implications. Yeah. And when you make a verbal contribution, you also say there will be financial implications. Why didn't you say from the beginning that, as Commissioner Mungu said, that there will be no additional event if the committee agrees in taking out all measures relating to the security? Because that's what we have here, that assuming that all the functions of the police that relate to the police are removed from the bill, then there would be no financial implication in applying this. But now that has not been said in my team. What did they really mean at the end when they say no financial implication?
And as a matter of fact, even if you removed them, you will still have to have 30,000 people deployed with a special allowance and so on. What changes? I mean, we are told there will be cost implications. We are told there will be no cost implications. What is it?
That's your question. Another question that I think that, look, yeah, I mean, saying that if we take out all the policing things in here, and that's in, I think, in answering my question around six, then there will be no cost implications in terms of implementing this bill. That's one story. We haven't decided to do that. We might not decide to do that. And therefore, I still require an answer in terms of this costing that was done here. Which part of it is SAPS costing? What is going to be the cost of SAPS? Because this bill stands at the moment. We need to get that answer. That was the question that was put to the department when we asked them to come and brief us as well, as we want to know what the cost implication is going to be. The other thing that I think that I'm worried about, Chairperson, is how this bill, whether we put it in whatever act, whether we leave it as it is, whatever the case may be. Because in the end, it needs to be done. How does this affect the daily operations of your stations, especially over weekends? Because we've got station commissioners already saying to us that we struggle over weekends to do our normal policing functions because we are busy with special events. And nobody's addressing that to us. And I would suggest that should have been one of the major issues that the department should have raised with us as well, that we are worried about how it's going to impact on our normal policing. Thinking about stations like Johannesburg Central, with Coca-Cola Park on the front door, you know, those kinds of things. How does it impact on the operations on a daily basis?
Chair, I think another issue perhaps we need to look at, and this is specifically in relation to the Soccer World Cup. If you recall, you were at that initial meeting with the Sports Portfolio Committee. I don't know if any of the other members, we've had a lot of changes. I don't know who else was there, but I simply know you were co-chairing it. A very serious issue was raised that FIFA had requested in the strongest possible terms that this legislation not be passed before the World Cup. They felt it would hinder the progress and everything that had been done already by the SAPs, already by all the other role players, that this would have a huge impact on the clean implementation of the entire program for the World Cup. Now, has the SAPS taken that into consideration in considering the removal of the SAPS from this bill? I presume you were there, I know. So you're aware of FIFA's extreme concern. I mean, they were actually almost threatening to pull out in relation. They were very agitated about this bill. So I'm quite concerned that I have this feeling that we're being hustled in the face of a lot of queries and unanswered questions.
Probably I may even add that, in fact, the LOC requested that FIFA be exempted. We include a clause that says FIFA is exempted from this bill because of the agreement it already has with the department, with the government. So that was another option that was put before the legal people that were there to say probably we include that clause.
And there's nothing in here.
Okay, let's take hands. But I think let's give the chance to the state law advice.
So again, I insist on that one. The committee hasn't reached its deliberation stages.
Yes.
The sports committee hasn't reached its deliberation stages. So amendments to the deal wouldn't have been affected yet. So anything that would have come after the deal was introduced wouldn't be in the deal. So issues that were discussed and planned by the committee, they won't appear then. But there are issues that are under consideration. So that issue is still under consideration.
Chapter 6, no thanks. I don't often agree with things I'm upset. I'm not going to get you to it. But this time I concede. I fully concede. If I were sitting there as I have before, I would have been agitated like you are. You have to understand the mindset, Chairperson. The question that you have to be answered by ourselves, either
privately or publicly, is how all this process came to the level where it is, without detecting all these things that one can't agree to read. So somebody, somewhere will have to answer the question. It might be here, it might be at a later stage. Because, indeed, one is a month and the week here. Then you say this has been going on for 3 years. And I know for sure that as this organization, we have been part of this. With this big kind of thing that today we don't agree with, and you must take back if you agree. This expressive process you have set up to go on, and indeed, without having let you before to understand that there are these things. That's one. The second one would be, Chairperson, the whole direction has been differing from today. So whatever planning of financial implication and all would not be similar then. Which means the management of South African police must learn new things to work as a management, not as pockets of management. That's what it says here. That we have been working as pockets of management. The legal people take their decision, they think it's fine. The operation people take their decision, they think it's fine. Whoever will take his decision, they think it's fine. The unit or the section will speak on behalf of the management. Having not come together, the management and the owner say, that seems to be the tradition and custom of working in the management of the South African police, which is wrong. When things go out, they should go out as the decision of the South African police management, not of the section of the police management.
Right.
Clear. So I'll sit here and concede that we have done a bad service here at the South African Police. To such an extent that as I'm seated here, I can hear that legal understanding of implications is not like understanding of operations.
Mm-hmm.
As we're seated here, they're not talking to each other. So, which means we've got to work as the management to function as the South African Police Management, not as units or components within the South African Police Management. So I would simply say, going back, I agree. We are not putting on the table those options as if they must be taken aside. That's what's coming from us.
Mm-hmm.
If there are others that are there, but putting the South African Police, both the management and the minister, on the level where they're supposed to be, it's fine. It does not necessarily mean that it needs to go to these areas. If it could be done, that's fine. But one wants to come here and undertakes to say, we will function as a South African police management, Madam Chair. And for the fact that we are back here with this understanding, it's beginning to talk to us. Because I did call the management and the legal and ask, what is this? What is this that we surrender the Minister of Police to the Minister of Sport? Well, how do we surrender? How do we say the Commissioner will be called by the Minister of Police and Count, and immediately there is a phone from the Minister of Sport to say, you come and tell me what is this? And I will say to the Minister of Police, hold on, I'm still accounting to the Minister of Sport. What is this? That's the question I ask. That's why we're here today again. But clearly, we have not been functioning as the South African police management. We have been functioning as the components and that take decisions on behalf of the management, yet to have the components, having not come together to say this. I concede fully. And what I will say now, maybe as you look at it, we have to go back ourselves to look at ourselves. How do we begin to synergize on this matter? Are there more cost implications? If there are, where do they come from, this law? Or even without this act, they will be still there. How do we manage them and all that kind of thing? Which is requesting another opportunity to come when we are in our centuries ourselves. And
when we are one ourselves to come back and say this is the matter. But that way I can go ahead and share to say we have our own matter to fix internally. Even if we come back and we finalize this in more other things.
Yeah. In the absence of questions from members and comments, I think surely we must have reached the end of this hearing. I want to say first, I'm of the view that some people must account for this. It cannot be that things happen in this manner from the highest management of the department with Parliament involved and we take as if nothing happened. I think we really would be interested to know as to who accounted for this and what happened. I think somebody must account. I also think that, as members suggested, we'll have to consult the other team, I mean the portfolio committee, so as to present this predicament we are in. I'm of the view that up until such time that we agree on something, nothing has changed. So the bill still remains the bill as it stands. Then we'll have to discuss as a portfolio committee, but also include the other portfolio committee. And I should think we'll definitely have to consult so that we can be properly advised. I just want to really express our sincere disappointment. I really want to say that I think this is very much disappointing, but I think it is extremely worrying. It cannot, it can't happen that at the level of the national management, such severe confusion is displayed. It can't. I think at this level we're expecting there will surely be some flaws, but not to this level. In fact, as I'm sitting here, I'm not sure as to whether one would not even want to know as to how much has the department spent in the processing of this bill up to so far. I want to believe that people who are accommodated here in Cape Town attending the public hearing for a bill that must change so dramatically. I think, I mean, it cannot be like that. Really, it can't be like this. We cannot be pushed like that. No, because I think this is actually testing the powers Parliament has on such omission. It cannot be like this. I just want really to say that to the department, and to say to the legal people here, I think they have displayed the severest form of negligence. And it cannot be allowed. It really can't be allowed. I'm not a lawyer, but it cannot happen that such issues are picked up by somebody who is not a lawyer. I mean, the National Commissioner is not a lawyer. It can't happen. I just am saying that because we can't appear as if we are confused. Because the department is pushing us to a corner where we appear as a confused portfolio committee. It cannot be like that. And I'm really saying that, and I'm saying it because it's not like there's nothing we can do, but there's lots that we can do. We have many options. We can recommend to Parliament. It cannot happen. It can't continue to happen like this. We can't come to a meeting. We get a presentation that says there are costs involved, a written document that says there are no costs involved. They come from the same department. I mean, who to believe? It can't happen like that, and I want to believe that it is happening for the first time. As a matter of fact, we thank the department for coming before us. We will indeed inform you of what we think should happen, and I think the department will leave understanding that we are extremely disappointed. Thank you very much. I think we will, at this moment, allow the department to leave because we still have another item on the agenda, which you must entertain as the portfolio committee. Thank you for attending our meeting.
Sure. Just a positive one. The South Africa is chairing the SAPO as from last year or next year. I'm the positive with all the problems.
Congratulations.
South African Ordinary Chief of Police Council. The startup chief of police.
Well done,
Chief. I checked my brother.
I've got a phone that I can know through. I've got a check it. I'll give it to you now. I don't think we should. I think we should put this there on. In the reporting.
Hearings are 2 days, I think. How many days? Okay, 3.
I did teach you the quality of the legal advice that they did to the commission.
But there was a big thing in the union building. I was asked somebody asked me why weren't you at the meeting there? They saw on TV. That's an important event.
Yeah, and it's a yearly thing. They should invite that new chairperson. The committee should be there as a whole, but I mean, at least it's the committee.
We haven't started deliberations or anything like that.
But I mean, the
other side of the Republic,
yeah. Yeah, but I don't know whether we can be.
Members, I think let's continue with the meeting. Our second item on our agenda is the adoption, in fact, committee strategic plan adoption. We were given some duties to perform myself. As the chairperson, I was to consult the secretariat so that they can inform us about those bills that they think will be processed during this year and, of course, next year and, of course, during this term. And, of course, those policies that we need to review, we did. And the secretariat will be coming back to us with that information on Thursday this week. And therefore, it is still very difficult for us as to, for certain that, I mean, as to which legislation will be before the portfolio committee, probably early next year. But of course, the legislation that is now before the portfolio committee, that has been referred to the portfolio committee, I think members are aware, is this criminal law forensic procedure amendment bill. That one has been referred to the portfolio committee together with the portfolio committee on justice and constitutional blah, blah, blah. We were also mandated to invite other portfolio committees that we might think are important role players in the processing of the bill. So that one is indeed before the portfolio committee as we speak. So surely it will form part of our strategic plan. I will one day put to suggest to members that we take this revised strategic plan, we go through it and we get the information from the secretariat on Thursday, and we give it to our secretary to include into our strategic plan. And then we come up with a date where we will then meet and adopt our strategic plan. If members agree with that, agree. It can be the route that we take.
Agree.
you know. Members are saying agree.
Agree.
When I say we don't
dare, it's not possible then. So if that is the case, then we members must actually go through this document. I'm really pleading with members to go through this document
so that when we come in our next meeting, we are able to say this and that, and we adopt the document. We will not have enough time, but I think we've got to. It definitely must be in Parliament by the 18th of this month. It cannot be after that. So I'm requesting members to please find time to read as individuals, but also as static groups, and make input so that when we come, we're able to whatever, and then we adopt our strategic plan. I also will want to give Jeremy an opportunity to just brief us, because as we sit here following this hearing, whilst we might have some suggestions, but it is difficult for us as the portfolio committee to take decisions as to whether we'll go ahead with the public hearings or not, whilst we are of a view that we have got to slow down the process. But I should think those decisions will have to be communicated at some level with our suggestion as this portfolio committee, or recommendation as this portfolio committee, to say in the presence of this, I mean, submission of this, we think that the process must be slowed down. And how should that happen? I should think we'll have to discuss with members. Otherwise, as we are seated here, we were preparing for hearing, and therefore there are logistical issues involved. I may inform members that after getting quotations, we therefore ended up, together with the secretary, but of course, I think members will agree with us, deciding that indeed the committee is divided into two groups, the other one going to KZN and the other one going to Gauteng. But to say at least even those groups should be divided such that a member goes to one province and another member goes to one province to cut down on cost, but giving all members an opportunity to participate in the public hearing. Because if all of us were going to, for instance, five of us going or six of us going to KZN and again to Eastern Cape, the cost was just escalating. But if we then say we are six allocated to that team, but three will go to KZN and three will go to Eastern Cape, that cuts down cost. And we thought it was a workable option, giving all members an opportunity to participate in the public hearing. But we did not get the mandate from the committee, and I think the committee will agree with us on that one in time to be very cost effective. Otherwise, it was just escalating. In fact, we're going to use a lot of money from our budget just with these public hearings, and probably not have any other budget to run our day-to-day work as a portfolio committee. But let me allow Jeremy just to brief us on logistical arrangements should we to continue with, or we have to continue with this public hearing.
Members will recall that I've been in touch with a few members with regard to the census that has been affected. At this stage, for the group leaving to KZN, we are due to depart at 1 o'clock tomorrow, leaving Poortes, so we'll be congregating at Poortes and leaving at 1. The flight to Durban will depart at 14:25. And the members, some members have already received the flight schedules, others we are processing those, and that will be distributed to members today. So I'll be in touch with you and inform you about further logistic arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think, I don't know if the members will want to ask any questions with regards to that. If none, okay.
Just one question, Chair. Do I presume now that you will go personally and discuss this matter with the Chair of the other portfolio committee and pass on our extreme reservations of taking a bill that our own ministry says they want to know part of for input when, in fact, in a week's time, this bill could look totally different? And in the light of that, we have extreme reservations about even holding the public hearings at this stage.
Yeah. I think surely that should be the risk we're going to take after this meeting and meet any person who must assist us in coming to a particular decision. So we'll definitely be doing that after this meeting, taking into cognizance the very fact that these public hearings, in fact, people must be part just tomorrow. So decisions have to be taken today so that we know as to whether we are proceeding with the public hearing or we are suspending them until further notice. So I think we'll definitely be doing that. And I should think that will be another issue. Members will be informed as soon as we have met powers that be. In that regard, I really want to say that we have come to the end of our meeting. Oh, your hand. And Honorable Craig.
Madam Chair, just in case you don't come to any agreement today, what are the arrangements for us? I've got a schedule of flights, but must we just go to the airport? Or are we meeting somewhere? What's the problem?
No. You members will be informed. I'll be in touch with you. I'll call you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's not related to this hearing, but it's related to another matter, and that is that over the weekend there was the annual police memorial service, which took place at the Union Building. Now, I heard about this on the news. And on yesterday, somebody actually asked me. They said they'd seen this memorial service. They'd seen it, the inserts on the news. And they said they never saw anybody from the portfolio committee there. And I think that it's a bit disappointing that the committee wasn't invited. And I would want to ask that the chair perhaps that this be taken up with the department. Because one is not sure whether there are other things that take place that we should be invited to, but that we're not being invited to. But I think the issue of this annual memorial service, I think it's a very important thing, because for all of us, it is a matter of great concern to members of our police force who died in action or in duty. And that's what the memorial service is about.
No, we definitely will. The chairperson was invited to the SAPO thing that was on Friday, but not the one you're referring to. And I think I agree with the Honorable Craig that the portfolio committee should have been invited. And we definitely will be taking it up with the department so that it should in fact case. Thank you very much for attending our meeting, and the meeting stands adjourned.